Hi, Renee. Hello again, Mark. It's been a while.
Hey.
Last time we chatted was Christopher Robin.
Oh, that's been a while. We didn't chat for auto.
We might have done a phoner for auto, but I know we chatted with Christopher Robin. And it's so wonderful to get to speak with you, Renee, after all the years of enjoying the films that you have been behind in a producing capacity. This has been a heck of a journey to get White Bird out into the theaters. It's almost as long as World War II was. Yeah.
Liberation Day now, October 4th.
That's it. I
Yeah.
can't believe what this film, what you guys have gone through. Originally picking up, you shot in February of 2021. You were supposed to come out in September of 2022. Then it got bumped again. Then strikes thrown in there. It is so sad because this is such an exquisite film. However,
Thank you.
with the delays, I think the timing could be even better now, given the state of the world.
You know, it's funny you say that. We've been talking about that, and we sort of agreed, but it's really, really great to hear you say that on certain levels because, you know, you always hope that the story you tell, has impact and maybe. This is a moment where this story could even have more of a ripple effect of really kind of inspiring cohesiveness, kindness, and mostly, you know, the ability to see each other. Once, you know, people start a dialogue or end the kind of dehumanizing factor of, you know, not seeing another kid at school or not having dialogue on a larger global scale, once we take away that dehumanizing aspect, there's really no way that you can't start to have dialogue and start to see one another and see yourself in a larger context of a whole world and problem solving in that world.
Yeah.
And you know, even the movie, you know, is in my, you know, I always felt it because it's told through the narration of the grandmother. And it's a love story that's hard. It's a four quadrant movie. I felt I wanted to make the movie for, you know, a younger audience because I was surprised how many younger people are not so aware of the Holocaust. And I think it's so important not to forget. It's so important to educate younger people about that history. And I think you know, I hope that the movie, you know, brings a younger audience in that they, you know, are inspired by the love story. It's connected to wonder, and that audience has grown up a little bit, is a little older now, and they can, you know, can enjoy the film and watch the movie with their family and ask questions and discuss it, and hopefully that will open a whole new dialogue for them.
And hopefully the parents that are being asked questions are able to answer them and that they know about history. I found this to be kind of problematic when we get into films like this with the Holocaust, and we've got two generations of people now that really don't know as much as they should know. And that's one of the beautiful things about White Bird. You learn so much watching this film about the time and the fact that France is what was affected. It wasn't just limited to Germany, but you see how the far-reaching tentacles of the Nazi regime and who all was affected. You weren't even safe if you were a Catholic priest who was heading up a school. It's chilling to watch, but it's also very necessary, and it stirs something in you when you watch this film. You have crafted this so beautifully, Mark. Not that I'm surprised. You've got such sensitivity and such emotionality, but and even with the darker moments, the darker theme of this film of Sarah hiding and being hidden, and the bullying and everything that Julian goes through, there's still a great beauty you bring forth the beauty of human emotion through the beauty of your visuals. And it's just so exquisitely done. And from a visual tonal bandwidth standpoint, I'm so happy you have your core team with you. You've got Matthias with you. You've got Matt editing again. You've got Jennifer as your production designer. But your visual tonal bandwidth speaks volumes. And the visual grammar that you have chosen, where we have the heavy mist hanging in the forest, almost blanketing, metaphorically blanketing Sarah and Julian, protecting them from the outside. It is, and then you cut every once in a while back to Helen Mirren talking. And when we see her, with each progressive scene, there gets to be a more golden glow and warmth as she and her grandson, Julian, are bonding. Just so beautifully constructed. I can't tell you just how wonderful it really is.
Oh, thank you so much. That really means the world to me. Thank you.
Where did you even begin with this film? Because yes, it picks up. I love how we have the little cell phone and we see the tie-in with Augie and Wonder on grandson Julian's cell phone. And we see bad behavior continuing with him. But from that point, you just leap so seamlessly. So I'm curious how you started, how you broke this down to develop this film.
You know, the author of Wonder, Raquel R.J. Palacio, wrote Wonder the novel,
mm-hmm.
and then she had, you know, the bully in it, Julian, who then she thought she wanted to create a redemptive story and for him, and wrote this, and she illustrated and wrote this graphic novel, White Bird, and that graphic novel is literally lays out the story that then Mark Bombeck adapted into the screenplay with a few little changes, but we pretty much were very faithful to her story. And then, you know, we first got involved. It was literally like 6 weeks after the shutdown of COVID in sort of May or April of 2020. And, you know, you already, at the time when we read the graphic novel and then got involved in the script, you already felt for the first time we all were locked under lockdown and locked in our houses. And you could immediately relate more to Sarah, who was hiding in the barn and couldn't leave her barn.
Mm-hmm.
It was like,
it's like,
yeah, a little bit that you could suddenly feel like, oh, she was locked in that barn and we were locked in our houses. And then I was so moved by the story and literally started crying at the end. That never really happened to me, except when I did Finding Neverland. And I just thought, we need to tell this story. It's a very important story, and this sort of the magic realism part of it, and her is something I grew up with when I grew up in Switzerland. We didn't have a TV. I was to entertain myself and was being entertained and had these sort of imaginary friends and dressed up in different characters by playing back in the forest. A little bit like that's where Finding Neverland came from, the J.M. Barry inspiration. And so I felt this is something that all affects my heart and my imagination, and I was so excited to tell the story, and I thought this just will be something really special and beautiful. So that's how we started, it was key for us to find obviously the right actors, and you know, Ariella Glazer, who plays Sarah, comes from a very well-educated, very smart father, scientist, mother is head of marketing of the V&A, the Victoria Albert Museum in London. Very smart, educated Jewish family, and she really understands the historical aspect and the historical context of the Holocaust and the history of it all. And there wasn't even a question when she came in the room and auditioned for the role. I just said, this is it. And once you found sort of your anchor, and then And then you find, and then Helen Mirren wanted to play the grandmother, her in old age. You felt like the movie is coming to life.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you guys knocked it out of the park with your casting, particularly with Ariella and Orlando. The chemistry that those two have, just, it fills your heart. It leaps from the screen when, as we watch them grow closer and develop a friendship and even a puppy love. But it's the kind of love that will stay with each of them forever. You get into the scene sitting in the old car and letting their imagination soar and go to Paris and then go to New York. And when Julian actually hooks up a projector to show Sarah a film, it is magical. It is a testament to the imagination and also to the resilience of children, of young teens, and the hope that they provide in any given situation. That really shines in White Bird, I have to tell you. Just so beautifully done. Now, so much of this film also is dependent upon your location. Your location is spectacular in the Czech Republic. Just amazing.
I love shooting this.
How did you find this location?
I'll just tell you that Jennifer Williams, we both think, is just one of the most talented production designers around.
Oh, yes.
Whatever she chooses, she literally chooses it down to the nuance, because it, as she always says, every single nuance affects character, affects performance. It's something that actors will work off of, will relate to, or not. Every detail and nuance is so well curated, you know, by Mark and Jennifer, that I think, you know, it's almost like, as Mark sometimes says, these locations are a character of and in themselves. She went early to the Czech Republic, I mean, really early, like maybe 3 weeks, a month ahead of us, and was there on her own, you know, during the pandemic. She had to stay in this, like, very remote hotel, and she was so brave and so, you know, dedicated to what she was doing, that she went out and did the early footprint of this, you know, while the world was locked behind doors. And I always think that she's always a brave person, but I think that's just one of the most inspiring and brave things I've seen someone do in a while for their art.
Yeah, when we chose locations, Jennifer went there early, as Renee mentioned, and she and she was looking very, like, for a while. And then, you know, when we once settled on the location, we also looked at France and how the architecture in France looked like in comparison to the Czech Republic. And then we adjusted certain things through VFX to match the French architecture to... and changed roofs, changed buildings a little bit, and the white shots, just to be totally historically as accurate as we can be.
Well, I've got one more question for Mark and Renee. Actually, I have many more, but since we don't have time, I want to ask each of you what each of you took away from the making of White Bird. What did you learn about yourselves as filmmakers telling this story?
That's a beautiful question. Okay, so I think, like, on a more, on an artistic level, I learned that, I've always known this, but we had limited resources, and we were able to make something which, you know, I was very, very proud of and enjoyed tremendously as an artist, with limited resources. And I thought that also reflected the time, you know, that we were in, which was, everyone was locked down, and there were limited resources in the world, but that just became an artistic and kind of a spiritual message to myself. Then the thing that I took away, like, in the larger picture, is the absolute beauty of being able to really, truly see the person who's across from you and to take the time to hear their story, and how that enriches your own life and the person across from you, or, you know, the people or the group across from you, because once we see each other, the world is boundless.
And what about for you, Mark?
So, you know, what's the first thing, you know, was interesting, just to quickly wanted to ask to answer two questions. One is when you said about the chemistry between Ayala and Orlando. You know, I was very skeptical because I was doing COVID. I had to cast through Zoom. And when you speak about chemistry, the chemistry obviously is the most important in a romantic love story. Mm-hmm. So when I auditioned them on Zoom together and had them read on Zoom, I was so scared that because I never casted on Zoom. So, and it goes into learning as well. And I felt like, what am I going to do if I meet those two in Prague and we start rehearsing and I have never met them in person and they wouldn't have any chemistry? So I ultimately it worked out and it was very, but, and I really, you know, I was more alert on Zoom because I was doubting the process that it's like, because every time I cast, usually it's in a room with, especially for a love story. So that's, I just wanted to mention that it was a very,
but it worked out.
Yes, it did work out. Look, I mean, every movie I made offers me another window into the soul of humanity, in my opinion. And this offered me, you know, an incredible, you know, I believe there will be light at the end of the tunnel in the times we live in. And those young people I worked with really gave me hope, these actors, and that there will, you know, that there will be a generation that hopefully that will find solutions and will remember the past and make sure it will not never happen again.
Well, you definitely touched my soul with White Bird. It is beautiful.
We love you. We can't wait to see you in LA.
I can't wait to see you guys either.
We love you, love you. Thank you for supporting our movie.
Oh, my pleasure. Talk soon, I hope.
Bye, 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 beautiful.
Bye, guys.